Good morning. Great to see you all. It's more November-like today, right, than the September we've been experiencing, but it's great. My name's Doug Bozing. We haven't met, and love to just get to know you a little bit. I'll be down here at the front, as Pastor Matt mentioned, after the service, and would love to just chat with you as you have time and opportunity. Well, I don't know how many of you shop at Dollar General. There's a few stores in our area that I'm aware of. But recently, an assistant manager from that chain posted a TikTok video that has gone viral because he reveals what he considers to be an appalling situation in his particular store, but a situation he says is representative of Dollar General's in general. Well, shouldn't have said that twice. Anyway, apparently staffing needs are so acute that merchandise is literally being stacked in the aisles. And he says, Travis Benton, his name is, we are overloaded with freight and we do not have enough hours in the week or enough people in the week to put everything in its place. We are completely overwhelmed. Have you ever felt like Travis? Have you ever felt so completely overwhelmed by a situation that you didn't know what to do except cry help, as he's doing? Well, it may surprise you, maybe not, but even the great Apostle Paul had such moments in his life. For example, we read in 2 Corinthians, he says this, we were so utterly burdened beyond our strength that we despaired even of life itself. Indeed, we felt that we had received the sentence of death in ourselves. Thankfully, in Christ, we have supernatural resources to guard us against being or feeling overwhelmed. And a very important resource that we're going to look at this morning, I'm calling essential partnerships. As Paul concludes his letter to the Colossians, we get a glimpse of the network of individuals and churches that he partnered with. And these partnerships illustrate a very important ministry principle, and that is all Christ-centered ministry should be conducted within Christ-centered community. I wonder, what essential partnerships do you have in your own life? Is Christ-centered community a vital part of your life? Or do you tend to be a lone ranger? And what might you be able to do to strengthen the partnerships in your sphere of influence? Well, turn with me, if you would, to Colossians 4. One last time, we're going to look at this chapter beginning in verse 7 in a moment, and you can find that on page 985 in the Black Pew Bible. So Paul has finished the main body of his letter, and now he concludes, as he does in just about every one of his letters, with greetings. And he greets those that he is aware of in the destination to which he is sending the letter. Look at verse 7. Tychicus will tell you all about my activities. He is a beloved brother and faithful minister and fellow servant in the Lord. And I have sent him to you for this very purpose, that you may know how we are, and that he may encourage your hearts. And with him, Onesimus, our faithful and beloved brother, who is one of you. They will tell you of everything that has taken place. This past Wednesday, myself and our children's director, Julie Myers, were able to participate in what was called a Pastor Appreciation Day at Linville Hill Christian Elementary School down south. I thought I was driving to Maryland. I just kept driving and driving. We finally got there. And there's a picture here. I'll show you the picture. There it is. And we're actually standing. Well, I don't have a laser on this, but we're up in the right-hand corner there. You can barely make us out. But anyway, they asked these children, how would you describe your pastor? And many of the students said things like, he's nice, he's kind, he's funny. Well, one student said, my pastor's name is Doug, and he's on fire for Jesus. In fact, it seems like he is the Bible. Alas, she wasn't talking about me. She was talking about another pastor, Doug. But man, I can definitely aspire to that, right? But I wonder, how would someone describe you? How might you describe yourself? Well, here Paul describes a man by the name of Tychicus. And he describes him in three ways. He says he's a beloved brother, he's a faithful minister, and he's a fellow student in the Lord. Now, to me, that suggests three qualities we should all seek in our lives and ministries. Namely, that we would be loved as members of Christ's body, his church, that we would be faithful in our service, and that we would conduct ourselves as servants of the Lord by putting the needs and the interests of others above our own. The high esteem in which Tychicus was held by Paul is evident both here and later on when Paul had him accompany Paul to Jerusalem with an offering, collect for sinners. Actually, that took place before this letter was written, because he was imprisoned during that trip. He also continued to serve faithfully during Paul's stance. He had a brief period of freedom before his second imprisonment, and then prior to his eventual martyrdom at the hands of the Roman Emperor Nero. And Tychicus was there with him during that time. And finally, we see here in this text that his purpose in coming to Colossae was apparently more than just delivering a letter, that he would bring important news about Paul and the ministry in Rome to encourage their hearts. Now, obviously, Paul was not able to travel because he was a prisoner of Rome, and so he needed others who had a like heart and a like love for the saints that would be willing to make what was probably a long and very treacherous journey from Rome to Colossae. He needed what we're calling this morning an essential partnership, and that's what he and Tychicus had. He couldn't do everything he wanted to do without partners in ministry like this man. He needed brothers and sisters in Christ who were willing to be his hands and his feet. But such partnerships were not a recent innovation of the Apostle Paul because he was in prison. Rather, as his many New Testament letters illustrate, they were a core feature of his ministry. In a similar way, we cannot do everything God wants us to do individually. We can't even do everything we want to do as a church body without essential partnerships. I mean, to put on three services like we do just about every Sunday here at CFC, I mean, we need greeters, we need ushers, we need security personnel, we need sound and video techs, we need musicians, we need children's workers, we need ABF teachers. Have I left anyone out? If I have, I apologize. I tried to think of everything. But we need a lot of people, right? A lot of volunteers to make these services happen. And that's just one part of what we do here at CFC. As a church, we also partner with local organizations like Upwards Basketball, which Brian just explained to us, but CrossNet Ministry, with Revelation of Freedom Ministry, with Love in the Name of Christ, and Alanco Release Time. Hopefully you know about all these ministries. If you don't and you'd like to know more, please, let's talk, because they're always looking for willing hands and feet to come alongside of them. And they provide services in some ways that we could not provide on our own as a church. They need, and they are indeed, essential partners. By the way, I hope that you will remember these ministries in the coming weeks during this season of giving of thanks, but also of giving. I know the extra give is being held this Friday, and unfortunately they made some changes in who they will allow to participate in that, and many Christian organizations have dropped out of extra give. I don't know if you're aware of that. But you can still give to those organizations, and I hope you will, and give generously as they continue their work. Well, accompanying Tychicus, Paul says, was another brother by the name of Onesimus. Hopefully that name rings a bell for you, because it's the same Onesimus that's described in Paul's letter to Philemon, which we studied this past year. Apparently, he was from the city of Colossae, had run away from his master, Philemon, and as he was came to be in Rome, he came into Paul's sphere of influence, and Paul led him to Jesus. And so Paul says, he is one of you. He truly was from Colossae, but he was also now a brother in Christ, so he was spiritually one of them. You know, a lesson we can take from the life of Onesimus is that everyone, no matter how lowly their status or former status may have been, how humble their present circumstances may be, anyone can be used of the Lord. I don't know how many of you know Rosemary Helmick. She doesn't usually come to first service. She lost her son, Earl Bloom, just a couple months ago in September. She lost her husband a couple years ago. I have witnessed how God has worked through Rosemary. Very humble lady. She's not a theologian, but she loves Jesus. And if you're with her for more than 5 minutes, you'll find that out. And she has brought at least a dozen or more than a dozen people to this church just by herself. Again, you don't need degrees behind your name. I mean, they help sometimes, but not always. But all you need is a willing heart, and God will use you as you make yourself available. So it's not so much a question if, as it is a question of what. What would the Lord have you to do? If you're not sure, please, let's talk. Obviously, not everyone is equipped or gifted for every role that I mentioned earlier, but unless God is lying, there isn't a central role for you here at this church and in this community, if you are willing. Well, beginning in verse 10, Paul sends the greetings now from six of his fellow workers, three Jewish believers and three Gentile believers. And the comments that he shares about these men are both informative and inspiring. Look at verse 10. Aristarchus, my fellow prisoner, greets you. And Mark, the cousin of Barnabas, concerning whom you have received instructions, if he comes to you, welcome him. And Jesus, who is called Justice, these are the only men of the circumcision among my fellow workers for the kingdom of God, and they have been a comfort to me. Epaphras, who is one of you, a servant of Christ Jesus, greets you, always struggling on your behalf in his prayers, that you may stand mature and fully assured in all the will of God. For I bear him witness that he has worked hard for you and for those in Laodicea and Hierapolis. Luke, the beloved physician, greets you, as does Demas. Paul begins with greetings from three co-workers who are identified as the only Jewish Christians that are assisting him at that time. Doesn't mean there weren't others, but at that moment, there were only these three. And he sends greetings first from a man named Aristarchus. From other scriptures, we know that he was from Macedonia, a native of Thessalonica, and was arrested during a riot that took place in Ephesus. You can read about that in the book of Acts, chapter 19. He later accompanied Paul to Jerusalem and was with him when Paul was transported from Caesarea to Rome. And here he calls him my fellow prisoner. And that may mean that he was also in prison himself, like Paul, or that maybe he voluntarily chose to live with Paul. In either case, his great love for Paul and his value to Paul are very evident. I wonder, do your essential partners in life and ministry know how much you love them and how much you value them? Do you make a point of telling them and showing them that? If not, why don't you start doing that, even this week? He next mentions Mark, who is the author of the Gospel of Mark, after his name. You may recall that Mark, in his initial forays into ministry in Acts chapter 13, actually abandoned Paul and Barnabas during their first missionary journey, and as a result, Paul refused to take him along on his second missionary journey, and this refusal resulted in a rupture in the partnership between Paul and Barnabas. And it mentions here that Barnabas was Mark's cousin, so blood is thicker than water, right? But evidently, Mark has now been restored to Paul's favor. We see that also in 2 Timothy 4:11. Not only does Paul exhort the Colossians to welcome him, he includes Mark among those that have been a comfort to him. And what's more, not long after this letter was written, we learn that Mark then began to minister alongside the Apostle Peter. You know, it's always regrettable when effective partnerships are ruptured, are rent asunder by some disagreement, be it over strategies or methods or worse, preferences. For this reason, we need to make every effort to ensure that we do not break fellowship with one another over matters that are in fact incidental to the far greater bonds that unite us in Jesus Christ, namely our union as brothers and sisters in Christ, and also the great task to which Christ has called us, to make disciples of all nations. To do otherwise is really to enable the enemy to win. What's more, when we blow it, like Mark did early in his life and ministry, the fact of his restoration later on, his eventual service to both Paul and Peter, probably the two greatest apostles there ever were, that's a great encouragement, isn't it? It's a great encouragement to know that our mistakes in life are not necessarily fatal, that God is the God of second chances, that God is a redemptive God, and he's constantly seeking to restore and to repurpose his servants as they willingly submit to his will. Moving on in this list, we know nothing about a person by the name of Jesus, which is the Greek form for the Hebrew Joshua, by the way, also called Justice. But he must have mattered to Paul and to the work because the Holy Spirit inspired Paul to mention him. Someday we will find out just what value Justice was to Paul. But isn't it a comfort now and an encouragement now to know that even if no one even knows our name, that God does, and he will someday reward us for all that we have done in his name. Amen? Epaphras is a name that should be familiar to us because he was mentioned by Paul in the introduction of this letter in chapter 1, verse 7. And as we noted when we began this series, most scholars believe he was the one who actually founded the church in Colossae. What is significant to observe is that just like Paul, Epaphras was struggling or laboring earnestly in his prayers for the believers in this church. He was seeking their spiritual maturity in Christ. Paul testifies to the intense effort that Epaphras was exhibiting, not only on behalf of his fellow Colossians, but also for those in the nearby cities of Laodicea and Hierapolis. The phrase worked hard means great pain or affliction. It's used three times in the book of Revelation to speak of physical pain. But here, I think the reference is more to emotional pain or emotional distress or anguish that he was feeling, like Paul also, over the threat of heresy in this church. Maybe you know one or more believers in your family, among your friends, who are showing signs of straying from their profession of faith in Jesus Christ. How are you responding to that? Are you at the very least praying for them? And not just praying, but agonizing. Because it is agonizing, isn't it? When someone who names the name of Christ then walks away from that profession of Jesus Christ. The last two individuals that Paul refers to here are, first of all, Luke, who should be very familiar to you because he is the author both of the Gospel of Luke and of the book of Acts, and then another man by the name of Demas. Luke is described by Paul as the beloved physician, and most likely he ministered to Paul, and especially when he had his thorn in the flesh. We're not sure what that was. According to Galatians 4:15, it may indicate that he had some sort of eye affliction. We're not sure. But curiously, Paul says nothing about Demas. Yet unfortunately, in a later letter, a few years later, Paul recounts that Demas, in fact, forsook him in his hour of greatest need. I asked you earlier, how might you describe yourself? That's an important question to answer. But something else to think about is, how do you want to be remembered? Maybe some of you are so young, you're not thinking about that. But you should give thought to that. Even now, no matter what your age is. Too many, I'm afraid, don't. But someday, the Lord will require of all of us who name the name of Christ to give an account of our lives before Him. What will you say? What will He say to you? Will you hear Him say, "Well done, good and faithful servant"? Or will you instead be ashamed of what you have done or how you have lived? There's no time like the present to make things right, to come to the Lord in repentance, to ask for His forgiveness, and then ask Him to restore us to a place of service for His name. He did that with many, many believers in the New Testament, and He can do it with you as well. Kevin Boyer is the Family and Student Support Coordinator at Gorsuch West Elementary School in Lancaster, Ohio. They probably call it Lancaster, right? Well, when Kevin was a kid, his parents would leave notes in his lunchbox to encourage him and tell him how much they loved him. Well, now he's keeping that tradition alive with his own students. Last year, he wrote a personalized note to every student in the school, all 600 of them. He obviously didn't write them all in one day, but he spread them out over that year. He made it a point to learn their names, their interests, their hobbies, so when it was time to write letters, they were one of a kind. Some of the students proudly taped their letters to their desks, while others displayed them on their refrigerators at home. Not surprisingly, Kevin has decided to continue this practice every year. What a blessing. What a labor of love. And I wonder, how might God want to use you to be a blessing, to be an encouragement to someone else? No one accomplishes anything by just standing still and pondering the future. Life continually offers opportunities. And some of those opportunities, yes, involve challenge and even risk. But if we are afraid of getting hurt, we will probably never get involved in anything. That's where encouragement plays such a vital role. Sometimes all a person needs is someone to come alongside of them and say, "Hey, I believe in you. You can do this. I'll go with you. Let's get going. Don't give up. Keep on keeping on." Are you willing to be that person is the question. Are you willing to be that essential partner that every one of us needs? I'll tell you, this past month in October, I got a ton of notes and cards telling me how much you all appreciated my ministry and my wife's ministry to you, and I'm sure the other pastors did as well. I can't tell you how much that means to me personally. It's very, very encouraging. But there are many others in this church and outside this church that need someone to come alongside of them and say, "Hey, you're doing a great job. Keep it up. Don't lose heart. Don't get discouraged. Well, I've been talking this morning primarily to Christians, but if you have never personally, individually received Jesus Christ as your Savior, then everything I've said this morning, as important as it is secondary to the very more important decision, and that is, what will you do with Jesus? Will you ask Jesus to be your Savior from sin? Or will you instead continue to live life as if you have no concerns for tomorrow, when in fact you should be concerned? Because if you die without Christ, there is no hope, according to the Bible, of eternal life. And so again, I would urge you, if you do not know Christ, if you're not sure of your relationship with Christ, please, let's talk. Talk to me or someone else in this church that you trust, and get that settled, so that someday we can together rejoice with the Lord together. Amen? Would you bow with me in prayer? Father, thank you this morning for this very wonderful letter to the Colossians that Paul wrote so very long ago, and yet the truths that he shares in this letter are so applicable to our lives today. We need to be brothers and sisters who are willing to partner together with others in this great task that you have given us, to reach a world that is blind, that is confused, that is fearful, that is really ignorant of the tremendous need they have for Jesus. Lord, encourage us as a church, encourage us individually as we seek to go about the work of the ministry for your glory and honor. We ask this all in the precious name of Jesus. Amen.